Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
Okay, what it was like. I have been in the program for 40 years. I came in 1983. During that time, I've been abstinent that entire time, except that I took 6 months off to marry a drug addict. But since I came back, I never left the program. I just took a little break from abstinence. And when I came back, that was 27 years ago. So I've had 27 years of back-to-back abstinence. What it was like before program, I'm pretty sure my mother was an anorexic, and I know that her mother was a compulsive eater. Her older sister was a compulsive eater, and my mom, and of course, this was in the late 1950s, so I don't even think they had the word for anorexic, but I remember I would come down to breakfast. She would weigh herself every morning, and she was beautiful, and she was very trim, and she would weigh herself every morning, and that's all she would talk about at breakfast, was how much she weighed. My sister, I think, was also an anorexic, so there were food issues that were not talked about. There were also... It's like I spent my whole childhood and adolescence going, what's wrong with this picture? And everybody kept saying, well, there's nothing wrong with this picture, dear. I still don't know what was wrong with that picture. My parents were kind, loving, generous, gentle people. Classic sitcom 1950s mom and dad. And yet there was something under the surface that I never quite understood what was going on. I know that my parents were deeply religious. When I was young, they were kind of repellently pious. But after I left home, they went through a spiritual experience, and they were like advertisements for the good part of Christianity. So I have no idea what was odd about that household. But there definitely was something wrong. And I have no idea what it was. My mother was also a lousy cook. Jackals would not eat her cooking. And yet I ate myself up to over 200 pounds on that cooking, which tells me that I am indeed mentally ill. I always had a sense of spiritual seeking, the religion in which my family the religion of my family, it never quite made sense to me. And I always had a very strong belief in a higher power that was absolutely nothing like anything I heard about in Sunday school or church. And it was just, to me, it seemed so weird that I couldn't talk about it with anybody. I feel like there was a lot of behaviors that were never modeled for me. My parents, they had friends, but they didn't have close friends. They were both from the East Coast. When everybody moved out to California, they moved out to California. So I didn't grow up around family. And my parents never had close friends. And so I never got it modeled for me how to be a friend or how to have friends. Also, my sister is on the autism spectrum, which may have made things a little odd.
5 minutes.
Thank you. I dieted most of my life. As I said, I came into this program at over 200 pounds. I went into a commercial weight loss program that I lost 95 pounds and my immune system. And so I was sick on and off. I would catch everything for like 25 years. The other thing is I have a list of food allergies from here to next Tuesday. When I came into the program, I remember one of my biggest fears when I came into the program, I knew it would change me. I knew it would change my personality. And I was afraid of turning into somebody that I wouldn't like. That did not happen. In fact, I turned into somebody that I liked and a lot of other people liked a whole lot better than the original version. One of the things I learned in the program was without coming to meetings, without working the steps, without having a sponsor, I would not have been able to follow any food plan. And this program has modeled behaviors for me that I feel that I did not have modeled for me as a child and as a teenager. And one of the main ones is, as a child and a teenager, I was pathologically self-centered. Everything was the Barbara show. And this program has led me to a different way of perceiving the world, a different way of living. There's a parable in Buddhism about a mighty king who when he'd go outside, he'd hurt his feet on rocks and on gravel, and he decreed that all of the earth was going to be paved in tanned leather so that he would not hurt his feet. So he asks his court wizard, how do we do this? And the court wizard says, why a pair of shoes, Your Majesty? I can't change the world, but I can buy a pair of shoes for myself. And that's what this program has done, is it's given me a sense of I'm powerless over a lot of things, starting with my own addiction to food, starting with my self-centeredness, starting with my fears, but I can be restored to sanity if I am willing to accept sanity. And it's not just sanity around eating. It has to, for me, it has to start with sanity around eating. Because if I am not abstinent, I very quickly develop a lot of very, a lot of behaviors which do not serve me or anyone else. Sanity around eating leads me to sanity around other people. It lets me remember all of those lessons about how to have friends, how to be a friend, how to have compassion, how to draw appropriate boundaries, how to ask for help. I would not get any of those things if I did not have a clean abstinence. One of the things that I have become aware of in this program, this is a fatal disease. I have several friends, and one of them just recently, who have passed away as a result of this disease. In the 40 years that I've been in program, I've seen a lot of people come and go. And I've seen a lot of people come and they're still here. And that's a wonderful thing too.
10 minutes.
How many minutes?
10 down. 10 minutes down.
Okay. How I work the program in my life today, daily routine. I make sure that I exercise every day. And by the way, one of the things I love about the program is we are all different. Everybody has a different way. It's like there's one mountain, but there's many paths up the mountain. I personally need to weigh and measure my food because I have multiple food allergies. I need to be very, very vigilant about my eating. Many people can eat all things in moderation. I did not get that chip. That's not in my brain. I have to do it the way I have to do it. I exercise daily. I stay on my food plan. I eat very simply. I would not ask anyone to eat the way I eat. I'm very clear about what is a red light food, what is a green light food, what is a yellow light food. In the entire 40 years that I have been in the program, I have always made sure that I had a sponsor. I've changed sponsors a number of times, but I've always had a sponsor. I have always come to meetings, even when I was not being abstinent, even when I was living in New Orleans, which is the self-indulgence capital of the world, I was going to meetings. This was before Zoom, and it was rather difficult finding meetings. But I would always go to meetings. I always had a sponsor. For the past over 20 years, 25 years, I've done daily meditation. About 7 years ago, I started into a meditation program, which led me into a spiritual path that suits my understanding of a higher power. Currently, I meditate about 45 or 50 minutes a day, use part in the morning, part in the afternoon. I highly recommend meditation. I highly recommend exercise. Those are lifesavers for me. In my morning meditation, one of the several things I do is go through the list of things that I am powerless over. Everything from Congress to the cats. but I can be restored to sanity if I am willing, if I am willing. And I conclude my little meditation each morning saying, I am not running the show. And thank God I am not running the show. Because when I was running the show, it did not work so good. I do service how and when I can. Because of the nature of my work, I would not be a very good sponsor because I'm not able to put the time in to, I feel you need to put time into being a sponsor. And my time is so strangely arranged that the sponsoring that I do is on email food sponsoring. I've tried always to make sure that I have a couple of sponsees who will work in that fashion. I speak at meetings when I am asked. I'm usually, I try to take a service commitment at meetings. I do what I can. I talk to my sponsor a couple times a week. I know that I cannot leave the program. Well, I could leave the program, but again, that would not be, the result would not be pretty. I don't
15
know.
15 minutes, 3 minutes left.
Okay.
3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I don't know where I would be if I were not in this program. Coming into the program is one of the best things that ever happened to me. I remember one of my earlier sponsors, one of the first things she told me was, the road gets narrower. And I have found that. But the road gets narrower, but the scenery gets prettier. And I work every day to keep my spirit open. I work every day, and it does take work to remember this is not the Barbara show. Okay. This is to be one among many, to keep my mouth shut and stay back in the audience.